Well, hello and welcome to today's study, December 10th. It is 2023 and the time is 15:25 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you. Again, we're studying the Crucible of Credible Creed, El Crisol de la Credo Creíble. This is chapter 1, paragraph 10 today. But I've been reading Trojan War, and just it's thrilling to read. And I know the numbers now, I think, of the articles. It started, the chronology started with the article Green, which is number 5. So 5, and Joseph was 6, Joseph and Owen was 7, also called Poseidon, that article 7. And Phoenix was 8, Moses was 9, Ark of Urartu was 10. This article was number 11, The Crucible of Credible Creed. Number 12 was The History of Babylon. Number 13 was Trojan War. Number 14 was Wild Road Ahead to History. Number 15 was The Uncut Tat. Number 16 was True. Number 17, Preservation, or B. And number 18, Born and Raised. So we have, or I should say Born and Raised Messiah. So we have the 18 articles now, and I've been reading Trojan War. It is an incredible article. It's just so expansive. What's the word? Revealing about the Egyptian chronology, among other things, but I mean that, and also the Ugarit solar eclipse. Oh my goodness, the Ugarit solar eclipse. We have the date of that, and it's so remarkable how it is exactly, well, the article speaks for itself, but how the chronology in the genealogy is so perfectly aligned with, not just that, but that's just another thing, the Ugarit solar eclipse record, which is an acronym User, so we call it the User. It's user-friendly, that eclipse, because of the time at which the eclipse occurs is exactly the right time period for the date, year 8 of Ramesses the 3rd, in our chronology, especially. It's especially perfect in our chronology, but other people don't even date the eclipse in that year, which is 1223, the date of that eclipse. But all these things, is BCE 1223. But now, in the Crucible article, chapter 1, paragraph 10, employing many different scientific tools, we have studied details of certain historical traditions regarding dating. Astronomical reports of eclipses and the Egyptian calendar used in ancient times may be considered as prime examples. These methods are scarcely believable without the study of genealogy, or perhaps genealogy, you might want to pronounce it, which is the study of families and descent lines, you know, lineages. And without these methods are scarcely believable without that, and without allowing for human inaccuracy also. It's scarcely believable in that regard as well. We have to allow for human inaccuracy, whatever that means. It may mean different things at different times, but we don't expect everything to be rigid. It's not rigid. But we expect that there's going to be a human aspect to the chronology. That includes family descent lines and so on. The record of the Bible is the prime source for these genealogies, which are the lineages. The city of Jericho, Kathleen Kenyon was an archaeologist who worked there. It was a biblical city which gained great notoriety because of its potential to prove Bible history. And Dame Kenyon lost her faith or was greatly inclined to discount the Bible after her archaeological study there, but she didn't study a big enough excavation to find what she needed to find. And also, and as other people such as Bryant Wood has pointed out, and Gar Stang was another archaeologist who worked there, and he certainly believed very differently from Kathleen Kenyon. We should keep in mind that the movements of the stars and planets throughout history have been believed as constant or slowly changing, but a few propose catastrophic change, like some kind of a collision between planets or something, or a collision between something, a meteoroid or something, and one of the other of our planets or our moon or something. Some people have proposed that, but we don't see that as necessary, because everything that we've been able to account for has been able to be accounted without the necessity of a catastrophic change having occurred. Radiocarbon dates have been wrong by more than 1,000 years. This is another thing. There were these new plants growing, and they did a radiocarbon test of these new plants, and they were like 1,000 years old, even though they were like brand new plants. It's just like 1 day old or 2 days, you know, 1 week old, 2 months old, 1 year old, whatever. They dated radiocarbon of those plants as 1,000 years old, and that was because there was too low a level of radiocarbon that was present. They'd been subjected to very old carbon, you know, that had been decayed. All the radiocarbon had decayed away in the samples, whether it was the radiocarbon in the air that was coming out of the of volcanic ducts or something. There was air that had very little radiocarbon in it, and those plants were taking that air in, or whether it was, you know, in the earth, the carbon that was there was very old, again for the same reason that it had come up from below the earth, where it had been for a very long time, and then it fed these plants, and so these plants appeared to be 1,000 years old because they had very little of the radiocarbon in them, because they got an old source of whatever had the carbon. Whether I forget whether the radiocarbon comes from the atmosphere. I think it comes from the atmosphere, but it could also come through the water. You know, yeah, it can come through the water. That's right. As the plant takes in water, you know, the amount of radiocarbon in the water determines how old the plant seems to be. And once the plant dies, it takes in no more water. All the radiocarbon dies away gradually, and that's how they date these things. So these brand new young plants were dated to 1,000 years old, wrongly, because they had old carbon in them, you know, or an old source of carbon, you know, a source that had all the carbon had decayed away before they were taken in, before it was taken in by the plants. So you see how radiocarbon dates can be very misleading, especially if they're near a volcanic site and so on, where there's a new old kind of old material coming up from the volcanic site that's being, you know, it's pushing all the fresh air away. Then the fresh air cannot give the correct date to the plants. It can't get into the plants, and the plants are only going to have the date of whatever source for their air and water whatever date comes from that is what they're going to have. So isn't that, that's a shock though. It's a shock to learn that. The assumptions of science do not always prove valid, just as an interpretation we show by the Bible may prove false. we might think the Bible means one thing, and it doesn't mean that, maybe. It's another thing we should be aware of. That's all for today's study in the Crucible article. It is bad, bad, says the buyer, and he's going his way. Then it is that he boasts about himself. Proverbs 20 and 14 is our proverb for today, little children. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David proceeded to say, Is there yet anyone that is left over of the house of Saul, that I may exercise loving kindness toward him for the sake of Jonathan? Jonathan and Saul had been killed, as we learned at the end of 1 Samuel. Now, the house of Saul had a servant whose name was Ziba. So they called him to David, and the king then said to him, "Are you Ziba?" To which he said, "I am your servant." And the king went on to say, "Is there nobody of the house of Saul anymore that I may exercise toward him the loving kindness of God?" At this, Ziba said to the king, "There is yet a son of Jonathan, lame in the feet." Then the king said to him, "Where is he?" So Ziba said to the king, "Look, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodibar." Immediately King David sent and took him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodibar. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came in to David, he at once fell upon his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth," to which he said, "Here is your servant." And David went on to say to him, "Do not be afraid, for without fail I shall exercise loving kindness toward you for the sake of Jonathan, your father, and I must return to you all the field of Saul, your grandfather, and you yourself will eat bread at my table constantly." At that he prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that you have turned your face to the dead dog, such as I am?" The king now called Ziba, Saul's attendant, and said to him, "Everything that had come to belong to Saul and to all his house I do give to the grandson of your master. And you must cultivate the ground for him, you and your sons and your servants, and you must do the gathering in, and it must serve as food for those belonging to the grandson of your master, and they must eat. But Mephibosheth himself, the grandson of your master, will eat bread at my table constantly." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. So Ziba said to the king, "In accord with all that my lord the king commands for his servant is the way that your servant will do. But Mephibosheth is eating at my table like one of the sons of the king." Now Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all those dwelling in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth himself was dwelling in Jerusalem, for it was constantly at the table of the king that he was eating, and he was lame in both of his feet. That's the end of 2 Samuel chapter 9, Jeremiah 44. The word that occurred to Jeremiah for all the Jews, as you recall, the Jews had come into Egypt. They were dwelling in the land of Egypt. The word that occurred to Jeremiah for all the Jews that were dwelling in the land of Egypt, the ones dwelling in Migdol, and in Tophanes and in Noph, and in the land of Pathros, saying, "This is what Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, has said. You yourselves have seen all the calamity that I have brought in upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And here they are, a devastated place this day, and in them there is no inhabitant. It is because of their badness that they did in order to offend me by going and making sacrificial smoke and rendering service to other gods whom they themselves had not known, neither you nor your forefathers. And I kept sending to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending, saying, 'Do not do, please, this detestable sort of thing that I have hated.' But they did not listen, nor did they incline their ear to turn back from their badness by not making sacrificial smoke to other gods. So my rage and my anger was poured out, and it burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they came to be a devastated place, a desolate waste, as at this day. And now this is what Jehovah, the God of armies, the God of Israel, has said: Why are you causing a great calamity to your souls in order to cut off from yourselves man and woman, child and suckling, out of the midst of Judah, so that you do not leave over for yourselves a remnant, by offending me with the works of your hands, by making sacrificial smoke to other gods in the land of Egypt, into which you are entering to reside as aliens? for the purpose of causing a cutting off of yourselves, and for the purpose of your becoming a malediction and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the bad deeds of your forefathers, and the bad deeds of the kings of Judah, and the bad deeds of their wives, and your own bad deeds, and the bad deeds of your wives that they have done in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? And down to this day they did not feel crushed, and they did not become afraid, nor did they walk in my law and in my statutes that I put before you and before your forefathers. Therefore, this is what Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, has said. Here I am setting my face against you for calamity and for cutting off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah who set their faces to enter into the land of Egypt to reside there as aliens. And they will all certainly come to their finish in the land of Egypt. They will fall by the sword, and by the famine they will come to their finish, from the smallest one even to the greatest one. By the sword and by the famine they will die, and they must become a curse, an object of astonishment and a malediction and a reproach. Remember, there's a scripture that says that cursed is he who puts his trust in his own arm, in the arm of earthly man, the power of earthly man. It's a curse to put your faith in humankind. An object of astonishment they must become, and a malediction and a reproach. And I will hold an accounting against those dwelling in the land of Egypt, just as I held an accounting against Jerusalem with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence. There will come to be no escapee or survivor for the remnant of Judah who are entering in to reside there as aliens in the land of Egypt, even to return to the land of Judah, to which they are lifting up their soulful desire to return in order to dwell, for they will not return except some escaped ones. And all the men who were knowing that their wives had been making sacrificial smoke to other gods, and all the wives who were standing as a great congregation, and all the people who were dwelling in the land of Egypt in Pathros, proceeded to answer Jeremiah, saying, as regards the word that you have spoken to us in the name of Jehovah, we are not listening to you, but we shall positively do every word that has gone forth from our mouth in order to make sacrificial smoke to the Queen of the Heavens, and to pour out to her drink offerings, just as we ourselves and our forefathers, our kings and our princes did in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, when we used to be satisfied with bread and to be well off, and we did not see any calamity at all. And from the time that we ceased to make sacrificial smoke to the Queen of the Heavens and pour out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything. And by the sword and by the famine, we have come to our finish. Also, when we were making sacrificial smoke to the Queen of the Heavens and were disposed to pour out drink offerings to her, did we, without asking our husbands, make for her sacrificial cakes in order to make an image of her and to pour out drink offerings to her? In turn, Jeremiah said to all the people, to the able-bodied men and to the wives and to all the people who were answering him with a word, saying, as for the sacrificial smoke that you made in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your forefathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, was it not this that Jehovah remembered and that proceeded to come up into his heart? Finally, Jehovah was no longer able to put up with it because of the badness of your dealings, because of the detestable things that you had done. And so your land came to be a devastated place and an object of astonishment and a malediction without an inhabitant as at this day, because of the fact that you made sacrificial smoke and that you sinned against Jehovah and did not obey the voice of Jehovah and in his law and in his statutes and in his reminders you did not walk. That is why there has befallen you this calamity as at this day. And Jeremiah continued on to say to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of Jehovah, all Judah, who are in the land of Egypt. This is what Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, has said. As for you men and your wives, you women also speak with your mouths, and with your hands you people have made a fulfillment, saying, we shall without fail perform our vows that we have vowed to make sacrificial smoke to the Queen of the Heavens and to pour out drink offerings to her. You women will without fail carry out your vows, and you will without fail perform your vows. Therefore, hear the word of Jehovah, all Judah who are dwelling in the land of Egypt. Here I myself have sworn by my great name, Jehovah has said, that my name will no more prove to be something called out by the mouth of any man of Judah, saying, as the sovereign Lord Jehovah is alive, in all the land of Egypt, here I am keeping alert toward them for calamity and not for good, and all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt will certainly come to their finish by the sword and by the famine until they cease to be. And as for the ones escaping from the sword, they will return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, few in number. And all those of the remnant of Judah who are coming into the land of Egypt to reside there as aliens will certainly know whose word comes true, that from me or that from them. And this is the sign for you, is the utterance of Jehovah, that I am turning my attention upon you in this place in order that you may know that my words will without fail come true upon you for calamity. This is what Jehovah has said. Here I am giving Pharaoh Hophra, the king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies and into the hand of those seeking for his soul, just as I've given Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, his enemy and the one seeking for his soul. That's the end of Jeremiah 44, and that's the sign that Jehovah gave, was that he would give Pharaoh Hophra, the king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies. Now, that's a pharaoh that has a name in the Bible, which we see was true in the book of Kings. We frequently see the name of the pharaoh. We saw Necho, Pharaoh Necho, in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah lived in the time of the kings. In fact, I believe Jeremiah was the author of the book of Kings, too. Whereas Ezra wrote Chronicles, but Jeremiah wrote the book of Kings, I believe, so, as well as his own book. So, during the time of the kings, we knew the names of the pharaohs of Egypt at different times. I'm trying to remember what's the... Pharaoh Hophra is not the exact same name that we would know him by. I'll try to find that out for next time. That's the end of Jeremiah 44. But that would be the sign that Jehovah would show them. That's how they would know that his words would come true. It would be that he would give Pharaoh Hophra into the hand of his enemies. The prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 44, which I've never spent any time studying so far. I haven't studied that prophecy of regarding Pharaoh Hophra. Matthew chapter, there's always more to learn about the Bible. It's remarkable. And more to learn about the chronology too, but that's a chronological indicator because we know what time Pharaoh Hophra reigned. We would be able to determine that in our own chronology. And therefore, we'd be able to place the events, and they should coincide. Because we already know when Jeremiah went down to Egypt, because that was after 587 BCE when Jerusalem was conquered. So we should be able to date Pharaoh Hophra to that same time period, or else, if we can't, there's an issue. So who is Pharaoh Hophra? I better do a search right now just to... Who is Pharaoh Hophra? Better do a search. And you know what? Sometimes it just won't do it. Because it thinks I'm giving it... It thinks I'm giving it... Apres. Yeah, it's Apres. Apres is the name of the pharaoh. So, and he's dated to 589 to 570. Which we would agree with because this time in Egypt, we don't have a problem with the dating. His predecessor was Psamtik II, or Psammeticus II. But before that was Necho II, who was the king who killed Josiah. And we agree with the dating of Necho as beginning in 610 BCE. That fits perfectly with his killing Josiah in 609. We don't have a problem with the dating of Egypt at this time period. So Apres is the one. And when did Apres come to his end? Look where he came to his end here. His reign ended in 570, it says here. His reign was fraught with problems, it says. Oh, he helped defend Jerusalem. Oh, that in 588 BCE. Look at that. That's from Wikipedia. That's amazing. Right. So what happened then? Nebuchadnezzar attempted to invade Egypt in 582, but Apri's forces were capable to repel the invasion. That's interesting. Oh, that's fascinating. So, well, maybe not all the prophecies, you know, came true. It's possible. We know that Jacob fought with the angel in the book of Genesis, and he won. It's possible to fight with God and win. It's quite remarkable. I just don't generally have time to do this extra research because I'm doing many other types of research all the time. I don't have time, so I like to do it. I like to do the research right while I'm talking and giving my video. So, Matthew 18, in that hour the disciples came near to Jesus and said, "Who really is the greatest in the kingdom of the heavens?" So, calling a young child to him, he set it in their midst and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn around and become as young children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Therefore, whoever will humble himself like this young child is the one that is the greatest in the kingdom of the heavens. And whoever receives one such young child on the basis of my name receives me also. But whoever stumbles one of these little ones who put faith in me, it is more beneficial for him to have hung around his neck a millstone, such as is turned by an ass, and to be sunk in the wide open sea. Woe to the world due to the stumbling blocks." Of course, the stumbling blocks must of necessity come. But woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. If then your hand or your foot is making you stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you. It is finer for you to enter into life maimed or lame than to be thrown with two hands or two feet into the everlasting fire. Also, if your eye is making you stumble, tear it out and throw it away from you. It is finer for you to enter one-eyed into life than to be thrown with two eyes into the fiery Gehenna. See to it that you men do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a certain man comes to have 100 sheep, and one of them gets strayed, will he not leave the 99 upon the mountains and set out on a search for the one that is straying? And if he happens to find it, I certainly tell you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that have not strayed. Likewise, it is not a desirable thing with my Father who is in heaven for one of these little ones to perish. Moreover, if your brother commits a sin, go lay bare his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take along with you one or two more, in order that at the mouth of two or three witnesses every matter may be established. If he does not listen to them, speak to the congregation. If he does not listen even to the congregation, let him be to you just as a man of the nations and as a tax collector. Truly I say to you men, whatever things you may bind on earth will be things bound in heaven, and whatever things you may loose on earth will be things loosed in heaven. Again, I truly say to you, if two of you on earth agree concerning anything of importance that they should request, it will take place for them due to my Father in heaven. For where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how many times is my brother to sin against me, and am I to forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I say to you, not up to seven times, but up to 77 times. That is why the kingdom of the heavens has become like a man, a king, that wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he started to settle them, there was brought in a man who owed him 10,000 talents, 60 million denarii. But because he did not have the means to pay it back, his master ordered him and his wife and his children and all the things he had to be sold and payment to be made. Therefore the slave fell down and began to do obeisance to him, saying, Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything to you. Moved to pity at this, the master of that slave let him off and canceled his debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves that was owing him 100 denarii. And grabbing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay back whatever you owe. Therefore his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, Be patient with me, and I will pay back. I will pay you back. However, he was not willing, but went off and had him thrown into prison until he should pay back what he was owing. When, therefore, his fellow slaves saw the things that had happened, they became very much grieved, and they went and made clear to their master all the things that had happened. Then his master summoned him and said to him, Wicked slave, I canceled all that debt for you when you entreated me. Ought you not, in turn, to have had mercy on your fellow slave, as I also had mercy on you? With that his master, provoked to wrath, delivered him to the jailers until he should pay back all that was owing. In like manner my heavenly Father will also deal with you if you do not forgive each one his brother from your hearts. And that concludes Matthew 18. It concludes our Bible study for today. We have 1.5 minutes remaining in our video. Today was a great shopping day for me, but it wasn't good weather, and I had to wait and wait and wait until the rain stopped, and it just was, fortunately, it wasn't cold compared to, or it wasn't much colder than, or it wasn't below zero, you know, it was warm weather for winter time. It was about a few degrees above 0 Celsius, so it wasn't freezing, which makes it a lot easier to go and do all the things outdoors that I have to do to get the car prepared and unwrapped and so on, so I can get it with the battery, put the battery in, and some of the things I have to do can get the hands cold when I have to lift up the tarps and hook them on so I can get the door of the carport ready to drive out, you know. So it's a lot, there's a lot of little things I have to do in preparation for shopping, but my battery recovered somewhat too. That was exciting. Yeah, that's right, the battery. I lost some of the power when I tried to run down the battery, thinking if I charged it up again after it would be better, but it actually lost some of its goodness. So I was wrong about lead acid batteries. You don't want to run them down. You have to find a way to reverse the sulfation, but you don't want to actually use them. You want to use them as little as possible and keep them charged up as much as you can all the time. So that's the end of our study for today. It's December 10th, 2023. The time is 15:58 hours Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you. And on my behalf, this is Gully and Cassie saying bye for now.